Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Rosa May has earned a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's degree in educational administration. She has taught middle school science, coached several sports, raised children, and taught as the adjunct professor of biology. Rosa has a lifelong love for expression of life through poetry and has recently decided to release a second publishing of Reaching Out to Kindred Souls to a wider audience. Rosa May, author of Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings and a place to your own, is with us on This Week in America. Rosa, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
What a really interesting collection of poems. And I want to start by talking about where this fascination with poetry began for you. You say a lifelong. When did this actually start being fun for you? Because a lot of young people read poetry, and it's like, you know, that's fine, but you're really not that interested. Why did this click with you?
Well, when I was a child, I had an uncle who always, well, he used to work for Hallmark and write greeting cards for Hallmark till he had some mental issues and decided they were stealing his brain, so he went to writing his own poetry for himself. But he always gave us a greeting card at our birthday that was rhymed, and it was funny and hilarious. And so I kind of really got an early exposure to poetry, and he was a lot of fun and left us a lot of poetry.
It's fascinating how that began for you, and you obviously were fascinated with that, and it continues to this day with your love of poetry. The book Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, talk about that. This is the second publishing that you're doing now for a wider audience. Talk about putting this collection together. How did you go about collecting the poems and the different themes that you talk about in the book? And we'll mention some of them specifically a little bit later, but how did you go about putting this book together?
Well, I guess it's hard to start in any one place, but I could go back to saying that, you know, it is a pseudonym, and I chose Rosa May. It's kind of like an alter ego. It's like the Hyde to my Jekyll, or it's like my soul to my facade or physical being, you know. So it's easier to go by Rosa May. And so I like to think of her as an entity, and she is like the soul of life, and she represents what is so elusive to all of us, that is, because we become buried in our own physical existence and survival, so much so that we barely know that our own souls exist. And then somebody reaches out to you and touches you, and you realize there's more to life than just that physical existence. And one of the poems that I wrote was at a time when somebody did touch me, and the poem's called The Window, and one of the verses goes, "I don't know how you found it, but sure as life you did, the small window that was barely cracked behind which I safely hid." And so that's like a metaphor of our souls, where we hide behind our physical being and everything we got to do every day, our everyday life, but somebody comes along and finds that little crack in the armor, you know, and reaches out to you. But growing up, you know, the dedication of my book is to people who can exhibit a mother's love. And it doesn't always have to be your own mother. It can be found in many different people. My mom in KC, she was, well, you know, it wasn't an easy life growing up. She was cold and withdrawn and had mental issues I don't want to get into, but
right.
It's really hard for a girl or a boy, you know, growing up to lead kind of that lonely life, wishing that your mother could be more, but then, you know, understanding that there's mental problems and it's not going to happen. But on the brighter side, along life's path, you know, I found people who could exhibit a mother's love in many places. It doesn't always have to come from your mother yourself. But my own mother, as I grew older and wiser, realized she was patient, she was kind, she was gentle. She just really could not reach out spiritually or emotionally.
Yeah, and spiritually, you talk about the church bell choir director that led you towards a spiritual life filled with God's love. Talk about her, because she really impacted your life, didn't she?
She did, and a Sunday school teacher I had as well. With choir director is more getting to get in touch with God through music and rhythm, and maybe that's part of the poetry thing. You develop a rhythm through music, too.
Yes.
But the Sunday school teacher, she was great. She would go there. My grandma was really the one who would get me to go, and it was, I must say, it was either through bribing me with a dinner afterwards or me feeling kind of sorry that she was going by herself. But I really enjoyed it once I was there, because there were people who showed a lot of love to me.
We're talking on the program today with Rosa May. She's the author of Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings in A Place to Your Own. The book's available. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookventure.com at the bookstore. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The poems are so relatable. I want to go back to the window that you mentioned. That goes on to say that that made me take the chance to roll down that window to my soul and get out and live life's sweet dance. When you read that, you think of going through each individual's life. There's certainly a time someone who's been able to do that to you, to sort of metaphorically roll down that window and open up who you really are.
Yeah, I think we all have those opportunities, and we can choose to shut somebody out.
Yes.
Or we can choose to open up a little bit and relate. And, well, you know, good things can come of that.
I really love the perspective you have and all the topics that are in the book of poetry, Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings. You see life a little bit differently, don't you? You know, we look at something and sort of see it in a hard, cold, fast way. You look at it and have a little different interpretation. Talk about that. That to me is a gift. I'm someone that I see sort of black and white when I'm looking at something. And you see the nuances and you have a different perspective on things. How did that develop?
I'm going to have to be honest that I don't write poetry all the time.
Yes.
Something that just, you know, I was having some emotional issues at the time, and it came out. But I have come to learn that poetry really isn't something that comes from your head. It really comes from your heart. So, for me anyway, I really can't write poetry unless I'm actually feeling something. And also then I kind of have to picture it a little bit in a cadence or a rhythm.
Right. It goes back to that music training that you were talking about, that you're able to do that. So you can't sit down and say, okay, today is Rose's poetry day. I'm going to write poetry from 8 to 10 o'clock tonight. It doesn't work that way for
no.
Doesn't work that way for you.
No, I actually have to feel something, and then I can let it go, you know. And it also helps me to let go of some kinds of angst that I might have. And there's a couple of poems in there that might show that. But there's one in particular that I think maybe a lot of people experience, because, and not to get too biblical, but in the Bible we've all heard about what love is supposed to be. Love is kind, love is gentle, and it's not accusing, and you will always, let me see here, It's never glad about injustice, and if you love someone, you will be loyal to them all the time. Well, I think we get in our heads that love is so perfect, and that should always be just the way we want it to be. So I wrote this poem, Hard to Keep, because people think that once they're in love, it's so easy to just stay there, and it should be just the way you have it imagined in your mind, you know?
Yes.
But if I could, I'd just read a little bit about it. That's, if you are selfish and try to own it, you will lose it. If you know you own it and burn with jealousy, you will lose it. If your jealousy drives you to demand it back, you've lost it. Love is hard to keep. And each of those stanzas says a little bit about something to people who just forget the true meaning of love and just try to own it or demand it, or and it just subtly grows into a situation where somebody just doesn't care anymore. And then before you know it, love is lost.
You know, I mentioned that this is, all of your poems are so relatable, and you will help people who will read that and think, I've been through that situation. Rosa has done a nice job of sort of slowing life down and breaking it down so I can really understand and put things in its proper perspective. I think you alluded to this a few minutes ago. Does this help you as well after you write something like that? Does that sort of, in your own mind, make things a little bit easier to cope with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these weren't all written in a day.
Exactly, exactly.
Each one was written, you know, over a period of, let's see, I wrote them back in 2002, but it was probably over a period of 5 years. It just, you know, something would come to me, and it helped me overcome some angst. You know, it's something that was bothering me, or I just couldn't figure it out. So if I put it down on paper and just kind of would work out the rhyme in my head, which actually is more of a it's a distraction from the anguish I might be feeling at the time.
Right.
So it got me to think about the situation, but do it in kind of a logical way, and it did help me to relieve a lot of tension and anxiety.
As you were going through this decision to re-release the book, reaching out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings, and A Place to Your Own, 2018, 2019, when you make this decision, a lot of these poems, as you say, go back to 2002 and a few years earlier than that. What's it like when you go back and you read something you wrote in 2002? It sort of brings back what emotionally what you were going through, and I'm sure there's maybe some satisfaction, okay, that I got through that, I survived, and I'm in a better place mm-hmm. today. Or what are the emotions when you go back and you read something that's 15, 20 years old?
Well, some of them I think, oh, boy, that had to be Rosa, not me. And others I think, you know, that some of them can still bring a tear to my eye. And some of them are very meaningful and will always be that way. And one of my favorites is Precious, which is the last poem in the book. But I don't know how that actually came out of me. It's just Rosa, I suppose. But it talks about the beauty of nature, the absolute beauty of nature. You know, you could take me to the ocean front. We could marvel at the waves. And it goes on and on, but the last part, it says, the part I'd love the most is the stroll I'd take with you, walking hand in hand upon the beach, basking in the warmth of your soul, so true. So, you know, that kind of a poem helps me to realize that, you know, as much beauty as there is here on earth, the true beauty is what we can impart from our souls from one person to another. And so I could read that last stanza, if it's okay.
Yes, please.
Which is one I really like. We could stroll the green, calming forest trail where mighty oaks make way for sunlight streaking by, and leaves with an age-old story rustle as birds with passion call, sing, and cry. But the part that I would hold so dear is what I really long for most. Your voice, the sweet melody upon my ear, is the time of which my heart will boast. Or we could stay right here, settled, into our own corner of the world we flop, lounging in the grassy shade as clouds float by, suggesting shapes of waves and many a mountaintop. But the part that truly, deeply satisfies is not the dream of where I could be, but your love and friendship that so gratifies, no place can surmount the precious time you spend with me. So that poem is probably my favorite one in the whole book.
And I certainly understand that, although it would be difficult to pick a favorite out of all of the different poems you have you have in the book, Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings, and A Place to Your Own. I want to talk about the illustrations as well, because you did the illustrations, correct? That sort of gives us a visual of what we're reading.
Oh, yeah, and artwork is not that easy for me. I can do it, but I have to see something like a picture in order to make a copy of it. And I was diligent about trying to get pictures and then draw from the picture. I don't make any kind of carbon copies and go over it. I just, like, put it at my left and draw the picture on my right. And you can see that there's like a Van Gogh Starry Night picture in there that I had fun trying to do. What I really actually did on most of these was I got a picture of ballet dancers, and I used their poses and their modeling to get my drawings done because they seem to match up really good to the emotions of the poets.
Yes, they do, and that just really adds to the overall collection. I mentioned a collection of poems and drawings and A Place to Your Own. I love that section of the book at the end. It's sort of you call a what not section at the end. Explain that, because this is basically for the reader to do whatever the reader wants to do.
Well, yeah, and I thought, you know, if I had a book like this, it might inspire me to write something of my own. And the first edition was a much larger copy and had larger, you know, it was a larger book, per se. And I actually did take a picture that I really liked and did a color pencil drawing for my husband, and I think he really liked it. But, you know, it's at the moment, it was just something that came to me, and I added that into the back of my own book. And so if you were to have it, you might have something that comes to you that you might want to write or draw or doodle or make a note of, or something that would come to your mind that you would want to put in the book. My only regret is that there's not more blank pages, but, you know, it's easy to set something aside and forget to come back to it, too. So I guess
yes.
It's enough.
Would you encourage people, you do it so well, but even if someone struggles in putting thoughts down in poetic fashion, just that creativity, just giving it that thought, I would think that'd be very beneficial to all of us to look at life a little bit differently, whether we're going to be a published poet or not. I would think it would be beneficial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't all have to rhyme. In fact, I think there might be one or two in there that don't have perfect rhymes, but or if any of them have perfect rhymes, I don't know. But it doesn't always have to rhyme. But for a poem to be effective, it kind of has to reach you some way.
Yes.
And one of the things that I did kind of review before the interview was some of my own favorite poets that really had reached me, and one of them is Emily Dickinson, and she had a lot of poems, of course, but I liked the one I remember when I was a kid. I used to like Not in Vain. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. And she goes on to mention more about that. Another thing, if you can, in your poetry, if you can talk about something in a way that's not directly that something, like Emily Dickinson talked about a train. She says, I like to see it lap the miles. And she says that the train, she doesn't call it the train. She just says, it steps prodigiously around a pile of mountains. And I thought, wow, that is a pretty interesting way of describing a train chugging through the mountains.
Exactly.
But I do have a poem I guess I wanted to mention, and it's called Hope. And so it's not that I'm anything close to what Emily Dickinson writes, but it is something like what you might want to do with a poem is take something you're thinking about and make it into a metaphor. And for the one hope, I put it starts like clinging to a lifeline dangling from a cliff, like wishing for something with no belief or reason, like waiting for a train you're not sure will ever come. That's something like hope. And the rest of the stanzas are the same way. If you can take something and make a metaphor of it in a way that a person can see something a little deeper, that's pretty cool.
And you do that so well in the book Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, A Collection of Poems and Drawings and A Place to Your Own by Rosa May. I think we all need like a Rosa May in our life. I like that concept of sort of that alter ego that you can, you can blame things on from time to time if you need to do
right.
That really wasn't me. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not sure.
That wasn't me. That was that person in the past.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Rosa was thinking, but wow, that certainly didn't come from me. And I'm not sure what she was thinking when she did that. But what are you working on now? You mentioned that it's not all poetry, and you've got, I know, other books out there, a couple of excellent children's books. What are you working on now?
Oh, I'm just sitting back relaxing right now. Oh, there's other things in the works. I actually do have more Rosa May poetry that was never published.
Ah, very good.
And I would have to kind of sit down and do the drawings for that, maybe check out another book on ballet. But that's one thing that's in my mind. Another thing is my great uncle, who was such a great influence to me, is for poetry and rhyming, conveying your thoughts in a rhythmic manner. He left a lot of poetry, and I was thinking of maybe getting some of his best things together in an anthology and maybe mixing it in with mine so that we could have something together.
Yes.
Or just do one just of him. I don't know.
Well, I love all those projects, so please keep us updated on what is happening with all of those. With us on the program, Rosa May. It's her fault. She's the one that did this, but and this time it's not a fault. It's her to her credit for what an excellent compilation, Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings, and A Place to Your Own. Rosa May, our guest on the program. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BookVenture.com, and the bookstore. And you, of course, can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. Rosa, a pleasure having you on the program. Excellent job with Reaching Out to Kindred Souls. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being able to visit and talk about the poems.
It was a pleasure having you on the program and having a chance to read some of the poems. And again, the book is Reaching Out to Kindred Souls, a collection of poems and drawings and A Place to Your Own. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.